We are so happy to be joined in studio by a Bangor native whose music has taken him all over the world. He's been writing terrific songs for, much more than four decades now. His music has been recorded by, oh my gosh, people like Bonnie Raitt, Chaka Khan, Aaron Neville, The Eagles, Rod Stewart, Joe Cocker, and so many more. Although, like so many songwriters, the person who does the best version of Larry John McNally songs is the man himself. Larry is here with us in studio. He's getting ready to do some shows locally at Two Feet Brewing in Bangor on the 20th and down in Portland at St. Lawrence Arts on the 25th. Larry John McNally in studio.
Thank you for having me.
Great to have you here with us. It's a pretty remarkable story. Guy who grew up on the west side of Bangor, Maine, and you have played everywhere on the planet for these last 40 plus years.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing when I think about me in my room listening to the radio, dreaming of all those places, and that it actually happened is almost miraculous. Not that I didn't work at it, but almost a miracle, really. Yeah.
Now, am I right? I think I read somewhere along the way that your parents, when you were a kid, thought that spending money on those records was a bit of a waste of money.
My mother thought records was a waste of money. My father and mother were working people. And I always say that they were artists without an art form. You know, the goal in life, my mother's goal for me was to work for the state. That's what she wanted for
me. Security.
Yeah, that's right. Of course, you know. And my mother used to say, you've never worked a day in your life. And but the thing I always say about my mother would say was, now, Lair, don't be a dreamer. And just a few years ago, I thought of what to say to her if she was only here to hear it. And it would be, Mom, listen, be a dreamer and a doer. You need both of those things. And somehow I dreamt it up. We talked for a minute. I loved Alan Toussaint and the music of New Orleans. And when I left home, I went there and went and knocked on his door of his studio and gave him my tape. And they're like, I don't know who this is. And Aaron Neville recorded my song. So I dreamt it, and then I did something about it. And of course, there's a lot of good luck and everything else involved there. That was the beginning.
Yeah, that opened so many doors. Was it? It was after Aaron Neville recorded your song that you got to work with Chaka Khan.
Yeah, now that was amazing because we were in New York, in the Atlantic Studio in New York City.
Wow!
And the people in the room, Arif Martin, who was a beautiful man and a genius, and a gentleman, and all the players with it, top list of who the killer piano player. I can't think of his name right now, and.
We talked about Arif, and I don't know if he was there or not, but we had Bill Schnee, a great recording engineer.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, he was on the show with us, and he talked so much about Arif.
Arif was amazing.
Yeah.
He was just such a gentleman. To think about it, three guys from Turkey come to the United States and reinvent music.
Yeah.
And at that time, black music was not played on white radio. Mm-mm. And they loved it, and they created it, and what they created is an unbelievable legacy. But Arif was great, and Chaka could sing anything and make it sound good. And the players, Richard T is the player. Wow. And so the thing I often tell people was, I had this revelation like, you know what, Lair? You better go home and do some homework because you have to be as good as these guys, or why else would they want you? Your songs have to be as good. You have to be as good of a singer, as good of a player, or something. And that made me go after it. That's when I was like, wow, it's a lot harder than I thought, you know.
You got signed by, I think it was in 81, you got signed by a Maurice White's record label and released the album, the single, Just Like Paradise. And I told you, working radio at the time, and we thought, oh, this is going to be a huge hit. Guy from Bangor, Maine, making it big. And it got onto the top 100, but didn't really have the record company support. And Well, that's an age-old story. It is the music business.
Yeah, it's rather disappointing, to say the least. But you have to pick yourself up after that and keep going. And it was very disappointing. And there's a lot of people with that same story. You know, I have a band now. We haven't talked about this. It's called McNally Waters. And Waters is Roger Waters' son.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it's going on 4 or 5 years now. I met him at a party, and we got together and started writing songs. And one day he said, I've got us a gig. And we ended up doing a six-week tour of Argentina, and like sold out. And it was a very important renewal for me. Pink Floyd's first 7 albums were not successful.
Wow.
What we think of, Dark Side of the Moon and what's the other one, the really famous one? The Wall.
The Wall, yeah.
But before that, they were sort of a quirky, not particularly commercially successful band. Then those things happened. And so everybody's had, you got to decide, what do you want to do? And even now, why do I get up, I write every day. And not out of like, hey, I got to put my 3 hours in, not like that, but because I love it, you know, and it fulfills me. It's almost like meditation. And look what the songs have done for me. This little thing that I dreamed up goes walking down the street without me, you know? And so I love what I do, no matter what comes from it.
What's that like too, when your songs, you let those songs go and another artist makes them their song?
Well, I'll tell you what, I was always a Bonnie Raitt fan. And when I met her, she's such a lovely person. She's just the real deal. She's very smart, so giving, gives credit to everybody, goes out of her way, a killer guitar player. That's killer singer. You sit in a room like this with her and it's like, what? Yeah. You know? So I remember going to a show and Bonnie Raitt, I'm up in the crowd and Bonnie is singing my song, Nobody's Girl, back to me, echoing through the room. And imagine what a feeling that is. My little private. And when I wrote that song, I had gone through this phase where, you know what? I'm sick of the music business. From now on, I'm going to write what I want, and I don't care if anybody likes it or doesn't. And I wrote that song, and I said to myself, Lair, no one will ever record this song. It's too personal. And look what happened. And that's when I had the revelation that the personal is the universal. I didn't know that. And that people write to me saying, I know Nobody's Girl. I am Nobody's Girl. Who is Nobody's Girl? Because I think I know her. It's like, anyway, yeah. It's a really beautiful feeling. Chaka Khan, man, Mavis Staples did my song.
Right, right.
Yeah. I mean, imagine
the
that.
The average white band.
Yeah, I know. They were great. I became friends with Hamish, was a great guy. And
and you got a song on one of the biggest albums of the last 20 years, the Eagles' Big Comeback album.
That was a great
Long Road Out of Eden. Who did we talk to that had a song? Oh, Paul Carrick.
Yeah.
Who had a song on that
album,
too.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
Paul Carrick is great. Well, that's a great story how that happened was. The Bluebird Cafe in Nashville.
Yeah.
You sit in the round, a small room, not much bigger than this. And I was there, and I played the song For My Wedding that Don Henley recorded. And she said, you know, I'm friends with Don. I'm going to send that to him. We recorded the show. It hadn't been demoed or anything. She sent it to him, and 2 weeks later, Don Henley calls me up. Those were good days, right? So Don Henley released it, and then a year or so goes by, and I get a call one day. It's Don Henley and Glenn Frey on the phone saying the band's getting back together and we're going to do this other song of yours. Those are very good days. And imagine, once again, me in Bangor, in my room, dreaming of this stuff. It's like, I can't believe this. But it is a great honor and a real compliment.
We're talking with Larry John McNally here on Downtown. Now, of all the songs that others have recorded of yours, I don't think anyone's had a bigger success on the charts than when Rod Stewart and the Temptations got together to do the Motown song.
Yeah, you know what is so funny is whenever I go to Hanover Brothers, it's playing, and I want to turn to the guy beside me and say, you hear that song? Oh, never mind. You know? But yeah, wow, that was a big out of the blue. I did an album for Atlantic, and that was the single, and it did not fly. And somebody remembered it, and Rod was looking for singles for his album, and they found it. And that was a very good day, too.
Yeah. So you're back in Bangor. You're in the house you grew up in, and you were telling us that it's been a really productive time for you as a writer.
Yeah, amazing, actually. Well, first of all, the pandemic hit, and there was very little. Everything was closed, it seemed.
Mm.
So I just got into this groove, and I wrote and wrote and wrote. And then I forget what's happened next and next. I've been in Portugal a number of times for a length of time. But it, there's something about the house, the way I have it now, the backyard, even in the winter, where I've just got a groove going. I get up and drink coffee and write every day. And I've never written more in my life. Never. So whatever that is, I'm grateful for it.
You know? You were telling us, I thought this was pretty interesting in terms of the process, that you can't just take one song and work on it until it's done. That you like to have a lot of different songs going.
I made a one of the big mistakes that I made was trying to do it that way. And I'd work on one song, and at the worst of it, it would be like a year later, I still hadn't finished it. And something in me said, hey, that's not the way to do it. Work on it till it goes cold, then work on another one. That goes cold, work on another one. And I have 15 songs going right now.
Wow.
You know, and yesterday morning was one of those days where one of them, I didn't know what I was going to do with it, and suddenly it popped. And it's like, and I was saying to you that oftentimes the third song that I'm writing will suggest something to do with the first song that I'm writing. And maybe the sixth song never gets finished at all. But I keep a notebook. My friend said Laverdiers. Remember Laverdiers?
I sure do. Yeah.
My notebooks are these cheap little notebooks from Laverdiers, whatever's replaced that. And I write, it's 100 pages. And at the end of 100 pages, two or three songs fall out. And I don't worry about it. I don't worry if I write whatever, something you might say, something I read, thoughts that go through my mind, I write, and I don't put any pressure on it. But in the course of writing the 100 pages, a few songs end up. So that's my process.
How do you know when you're done?
I just recorded a new song that's quite good, I think, called I Stopped Breathing. And I thought there was one line that I thought, this line kills the song for me. I don't know if I can release it. And then suddenly I thought of the perfect replacement line. This is after I'd already recorded it. Now I got to go back and change it. So in that case, later on, it came to me. It can't have any duds or no obligatory anything, nothing that falls flat. But here's a funny story. And the Eagles song is called I Love to Watch a Woman Dance. And there's one place where I think I rhyme the word way with way. And Don Henley's a stickler. And he said, you know, you're rhyming way with way here. And I said, oh, yeah, I'm sorry, but it just sounded so, felt right, you know? But I'll tell you what. And I went back and rewrote it, gave him two or three choices, and in the end, he recorded way with way. So I guess it was done, whether way runs way or not.
I love that. Now, Larry's got a couple of shows around here. I mentioned on June 20th. At 2 Feet Brewing in Bangor. You want to get there early, I think, for that one. And then on the 25th, teaming up with Peter Galway down at St. Lawrence Arts in Portland for a show. And it looks like, I see you're doing some shows in New York as well, and
yeah, I've
getting
got
the Northeast a bit.
The next night after Portland, I'm playing in Providence, Rhode Island.
Great.
And then I have a gig, two gigs in Utah, three gigs in Northern California. You know what? August 12th in Dover. At the Center.
Oh, Center Theater.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Right.
And there's an Irish gig in New York called the Scratcher Sessions.
Yeah.
But that doesn't start until September again. So.
And exciting news, too, about an album you recorded right before the pandemic that'll be coming out later.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. We recorded two nights in Tokyo, and I really love the way it came out. And then everything went crazy, and now hopefully I'll be back there again.
That's fantastic. Yeah. We're going to take a little break. You can stay around and play a little music for us, too.
That's good.
All right, we'll take a break here. When we come back, more with Larry John McNally here on Downtown.
She don't need anybody to tell her she's pretty. She's heard it every single day of her life. He's got to wonder what she sees in him when there's so many others standing in line.
from her multi-platinum album, Nick of Time. Bonnie Raitt doing Larry John McNally's Nobody's Girl. Larry in studio with us this afternoon. You and Bruce talking about what a wonderful person Bonnie Raitt is.
Greatest. She's really something. She's out there promoting everybody and with truly heartfelt. Yeah, she's a real giver.
What kind of music did you listen to as a kid, Larry?
You know, I find it really odd that I grew up, as we talked about, my parents were working people. My mother thought records was a waste of money. And I discovered R&B and jazz when I was like 16 in Bangor. And Mose Allison, Alan Toussaint were two of the biggest influences. And I thought, now how did I discover them in Bangor, Maine? But I did. And so I always loved R&B. When I started out with people recording my songs, it was strictly R&B. Mm. Aaron Neville, Chaka Khan, Betty Wright, the Staple Singers, Mavis Staples, Atlantic Star, Peebo Bryson, The Emotions. I can't remember everybody. But then, because I love the feel of R&B, but I'm Irish, and I love language and poetry, and I felt what I wanted to do was combine that groove feeling with Irish poetry, and that's what I've ended up doing. You know, when I went to New Orleans, I realized as much as I loved the music there, New Orleans music is party music, and that's not really who I am, but I love that groove, so that's what I've done over these years is combine the R&B feeling with a more poetic sort of thing.
Well, and I was trying to think. One of my favorite Larry John McNally songs, and there's so many of them I like through the years, but one of my favorites was Sidewalks of Summer.
Oh, I'm glad you like that song. Oh, my God. Gee, I love that song.
And then I was listening last night to, I think it was on the Dandelion Soul album, Over Fences, which I think is just some of the best lyrics that you've ever written.
Yeah, that's one of my better songs. It's, that's a tough one to sing. It's so emotional. Yeah, I remember writing about that. Growing up in Bangor, Boston was my first urban experience, and subways and all of that. And I remember going either to Boston or New York, where the train winds through the city, and that's where the first inspiration for that lyric was. Over fences, over clotheslines, over rooftops and alleyways, we make our way. It was that feeling of going into the city, and it was so magic for me. Yeah.
Well, that's a wonderful song. Yeah, well, can you play something for us, Larry?
Yeah.
Anything you like.
I'll play a little bit of Nobody's Girl. She don't need anybody to tell her she's pretty. She's heard it every single day of her life. I got to wonder what she sees in me when there's so many others standing in line. She gives herself to me, but I'm still on the outside. She's alone in this world. Yeah, she's nobody's girl. She's nobody's girl.
Oh, man. That is fantastic.
Yeah, when I wrote that, Bonnie didn't have a record deal at that time. It's hard to imagine.
Wow.
She and Van Morrison turned 40, and they thought, 40?
Yeah.
It's over for you guys. And Bonnie said, we hung out for a while. What a great moment that was. And she said, if I get another record deal, I'd like to record that song. And she did get another record deal. And you know what? It came out in June, and I don't remember what year, but Rolling Stone gave it a terrible review. And then, but it sold a million copies immediately
because
her fan base. And then the next March or whatever, the Grammys came out and she won 6 Grammys, and the thing went crazy. And imagine what a feeling that was for me. And it was a turning point for me. It was sort of, you know, financially and otherwise.
Well, and do you find, too, when somebody like a Bonnie Raitt records your songs, that then other artists come out of the woodwork and say, who's that? Who's the Larry John McNally guy that wrote
very
those
good,
songs?
Very good for me, yeah. You know, the song existed with or without Bonnie, but her doing it as well as she did and her pushing it into the world like that, just doors swing open to some degree, you know. It doesn't make life a breeze, but it was a very great moment for me.
How did Joe Cocker come to record your song?
I was working with Gary Katz, who did the Steely Dan records.
Oh, yeah.
And we did an album together. But before that, he did Five Sides, Civilized Man, the Joe Cocker album called. And he was looking for songs, and he loved A Long Drag Off a Cigarette. Yeah. And it's funny, I remember I played on that session as the guitar player.
Right.
And I remember being out there with Greg Fillinganes, who's a killer player. Mm. And he said he did not like the song at all. And I think because he likes exotic jazz changes and a killer groove. And this was a very quirky, poetic song. I'll sing it.
Oh yeah,
Joe Cocker said. But imagine how fun for me hearing Joe Cocker sing my stuff back. And then later on, you must know this, I wrote a song called "Can Joe Cocker Hit the High Notes Tonight?" And I wish that he had recorded that, but I don't know what it was. She was sitting there, kind of distant, eyes half closed. She took a long drag off a cigarette and let it out real slow. I felt something clicking between her and me. That's when she turned around and said, "Hey, long time no see. Looks like luck's been on your side. Knock on wood. I don't know what or who finally got through to you. 'Cause man, I never could. Me, I keep walking back into the fire. Listen, it's being confused, some kind of sin. But tonight I'm gonna turn around and walk right out of here before I get back into trouble again. Man, I feel kind of distant, laying here with my eyes half closed. I'm gonna take a long drag of a cigarette and let it out real slow."
Larry John McNally here in studio with us. June 20th. Two Feet Brewing in Bangor, June 25th, St. Lawrence Arts in Portland with Peter Galway. New album coming out later in the year, live in Tokyo. You can visit Larry's website at LarryJohnMcNally.com. Follow on Facebook as well for updates on music and appearances and more information. Larry, so great to have you with us today.
Now, that song, when we were talking earlier about the process, that's one of the songs. What happened was, in the studio after another session, I brought my notebook and I put it on the music stand. I had no music or anything. I said, "Roll the tape." At that time, it was tape. And I played it for one time and one time only, and that was the recording.
Wow.
And I didn't know what I did. And I said, "Well, I'll write a chorus to it later." And then I realized, you know what? That's totally complete, just like it is. Now I got to figure out what I did. You know, so that song is one of those that just came out.
when you ended on the minor like that, it was just great. You knew it was right because you didn't resolve it. That's what I love.
I always felt like I should have and take a long breath. You know, it couldn't have a chorus to it. It just said what I had to say. And I'm doing a new album, studio album now. It's almost done. And I think it's going to be called Candy Cigarettes. And I have a song called Candy Cigarettes. I can't play it now because I haven't figured out how to perform it yet. But sort of the response to Long Drag Off a Cigarette cool. this many years later.
Well, I hope you'll come back when the new album is ready.
I hope so. That'd be great.
That'd be great. Well, thank you so much for coming in
thanks
today.
Thanks for having me. Really
it's great to
it.
See you. And check out Larry if you get a chance in either Bangor or Portland. Larry John McNally on Downtown.